Welcome to Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here's your host, Nick Camino.
Oh, yes, it's another fun-filled edition of Indians Hot Stove Weekly. All along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network, Nick Camino here with you. So glad to be with you. Wow, you talk about being busy and getting busy. Your Cleveland Indians are doing just that, and not only the Tribe, but a few other clubs around Major League Baseball. As you probably know already, the winter meetings are taking place in San Diego, California as we speak. Heck, things might be breaking as we're on the air here tonight. Who knows? Earlier this week, we saw the Tribe. They really kind of got things started for the winter meetings for all of Major League Baseball. They completed a trade for first baseman and outfielder Brandon Moss of the Oakland Athletics. It seems like the Athletics and Billy Bean, like we've seen before, perhaps going into maybe a little bit of a rebuild mode here. The Tribe sending infielder Joey Wendell. He's a minor leaguer to Oakland in exchange for Brandon Moss. And while Chris Antonetti, Mark Shapiro, and the rest of the front office were busy making the Tribe better, a lot of other clubs started making some things happen. The big news coming down earlier today, and it may have happened late last night, but it was announced today that left-hander John Lester will be heading to the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs outbidding the Boston Red Sox. It was down to just those two sides. And obviously, we know that Theo Epstein is the general manager for the Chicago Cubs, and he's really been making some things happen. Lester signing a six-year deal worth $155 million. Oh, my gosh. And there's so many other things that have happened there as well. We're going to get into all that over the next hour. Over the next hour, we're going to get into it all. Coming up next segment, we're actually going to head out to San Diego, the site of the winter meetings, and check in with Jordan Bastian of MLB.com, Indians beat writer, who you can read over on Indians.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, at ML Bastian. He's been in the trenches in San Diego, tracking down some of the hot rumors, the stories going on, the Brandon Moss trade. He was all over that. He talked with Indians manager Terry Francona today. Yesterday, I know he talked with Tribe general manager Chris Antonetti. So we'll get into all of that with you, and we'll get into all of that with him. And Jordan is going to join us. That's coming your way. He's actually going to join us in our next segment. A little bit later, we'll have our news and notes portion of the show. We will literally run down everything that has happened over the last few days at the baseball winter meetings. And how about both of the Chicago clubs, the White Sox and the Cubs, both teams making some noise. Justin Masterson might be headed back to a familiar place. We'll have more on that. A possible new stadium and ballpark finally coming for the Tampa Bay Rays. Is that going to be a possibility? We'll see on that. And meanwhile, they have their new manager. Yeah, Indians bullpen coach Kevin Cash has now been named the new manager of the Tampa Bay Rays. He beat out Don Wakamatsu for that hiring and for that job. And boy, a lot of great things being said about him. So keep things locked right here. Indians Hot Stove Weekly is off and rolling. Also, later on, we'll check in with Joel Hammond of the Cleveland Indians. He's going to give us some updates on the renovations going on down at Progressive Field, the continued construction that you might be seeing there. He's going to give us the update on Tribe Fest and a cool thing that they have for their Mentor of the Year program. You got to stay locked here for all of those details. We're going to head out to San Diego next. We'll be joined by Jordan Bastian of MLB.com. He's going to give us the latest on the Tribe and other hot things going on out there at the winter meetings. Nick Camino here with you. Stay right there. You're listening to the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
All right, as promised, now joining us via our hotline in sunny, beautiful San Diego is Jordan Bastian of MLB.com. You can read him over on Indians.com, Indians beat writer. Does a tremendous job. He is at the winter meetings, as I mentioned, in San Diego. Jordan, listen, we really appreciate the time. I got to imagine the weather there has to be a lot nicer than where I'm sitting.
I'm just going to tell you that it's cloudy and awful, and it's been raining the whole time, because that's really what everyone wants to hear.
Well, that would make, I was going to say, that'll make us feel a lot better.
That's all I'm going to say.
All right, hey, let's get right into it. The Indians, when it comes to the winter meetings for all of Major League Baseball, it seemed like it was the Indians that really got things going there that first day out there in San Diego, able to complete that trade. The Indians acquiring Brandon Moss from the Oakland Athletics, first baseman outfielder, for minor league infielder Joe Wendell. Just your thoughts and impressions on this deal that the Indians were able to pull off right at the start of the week.
I think it's a great deal. You know, obviously there were rumors of this deal last week. It waited all the way until, you know, the parties could get in person here at the winter meetings. And, yeah, I mean, it kind of kicked off the meetings here with the Indians making a big move. So, you know, I think it's a great addition in the sense that this is a guy who, you know, while he's coming off some hip issues last year, you look at the last 3 years combined, I mean, you could, depending on what category you're looking at, call him a top 10 power hitter, a top 15 power hitter. I mean, this guy's got legitimate power that stands to significantly increase just by moving from Oakland to Cleveland. You know, the Oakland Coliseum is a pretty bad offensive graveyard, and he put up tremendous power numbers while he was wearing that A's uniform. You know, so coming to Cleveland, being able to go to a park that's more friendly for left-handed power hitters, yeah, that's going to be a big move for him. It's a big move for an offense that, you know, really isn't sure what it's going to get from Swisher, you know, looking for a comeback year from Jason Kipnis, you know, things like that. So I was really impressed with the deal that they made, and, you know, the kind of return that they had to give up. Wendell, you know, is a prospect that the Indians like, but hey, you maybe could thought the A's could have got a little more. But, you know, then again, you think about it, and if Moss doesn't perform the way the Indians hope he does, you know, because he's in an arbitration-type situation, you know, next year maybe he comes a non-tender candidate, and this was only a one-year deal. So then the value kind of makes more sense. But he's under control for 2 years, in arbitration for two more years, and if he performs as he can when he's healthy, the Indians got a really powerful bat.
All right, when it comes to Moss, you know, obviously you know a lot more on him than I do right now, but from what I remember from him and reading you on Indians.com, he's a guy who battled that hip injury but had a big first half. And then after that, you know, he did kind of find his way back. He was able to work his way back. And I remember in that wild card game against the Kansas City Royals, he hit those two home runs. So, I mean, this is a guy who has been working his way back, right?
Yeah, I mean, he really struggled. I mean, you can draw a line in this season from about, you know, the end of May through the rest of the year. He really struggled. He went from hitting 300, you know, to hitting 200 over the last, you know, 3-4 months. It was pretty brutal. But I asked him the other day, I said, you know, how much of this was, you know, when they traded Cespedes, you know, maybe you're pitched differently, or how much was it the hip? And he said he felt it was 90% the hip was the problem. And what really convinced him was late in the year when tightness turned to pain in that hip, and he really wasn't able to get his swing mechanics where he could drive the ball with authority. You know, late in the year, about, I want to say the last week, he had a cortisone shot for his hip, and he said right after he got that, all of a sudden it felt completely normal. He felt like he could do his normal swing, his normal, you know, mechanics, and then he played that wild card game, and that kind of answered some questions for him. He hit the two homers, five RBIs, really looked like himself again. Granted, that's only a one-game sample, but for him, he entered the offseason thinking, all right, that game showed me that it was the hip.
Because sure.
He was feeling good because of the cortisone shot. So then they got it surgically repaired after the season. You know, there's a chance, you know, that this could drag up towards opening day, you know, his rehab. But the Indians are optimistic that he's going to be ready to go once the season starts. And he's optimistic that this hip problem is behind him.
All right, Jordan, help me out here. And we're talking with Jordan Bastian of Indian. You can read him on Indians.com from MLB.com. Indians beat writer does a great job. He's at the winter meetings in San Diego. Help me out here. And I know you talked with Terry Francona today out there. But help me out, because you got David Murphy, you've got Nick Swisher, you've got Carlos Santana, and now you've got Moss. It seems like a lot of guys who almost play the same different type of roles and positions. Where will he kind of fit in?
You know, what Terry Francona said today was he one of the things he likes, which is, you and I know, he likes this with all his players, can you play multiple positions? You know, and Moss can do that. He can play left field. He can play right field. He can play first base. He could rotate through the DH slot if that hits the problem. But right now, what was interesting is when we asked Francona about Swisher, he said Swiss seems to think that his knees might benefit from being in the outfield, which kind of sounds backwards, except that you think that he would be on grass. There's not as much quick burst on a harder surface like there is at first base. You can be more gradual into a sprint, you know, you have room, a little bit more room for your legs out in the outfield and things like that. So I think along those lines, you know, if that's the way they're thinking, Swisher maybe gets some time in the outfield. Now, that kind of leaves the question mark of, well, what does this mean for David Murphy? Because we know they got Santana at first base. You know, he can DH some as well. We know they have Rayburn still on the roster.
Rayburn, yeah.
As a versus left-handed bat that can also play the outfield. So, to me, the odd man out right now is David Murphy. This is a guy they brought in to be a platoon-type player against right-handed pitching. But when you got Moss in the fold and you got Bourne and Brantley in the other two outfield spots, kind of makes you wonder, you know, where Murphy fits into the equation, you know, now it looks like he's a bench bat. So maybe there's another trade coming that's going to try and free this up. We know rumors have existed all offseason about trying to gauge the market for Swisher, but I don't know how much of a market is there for a guy coming off two knee injuries, you know, coming off the worst year of his career, and a guy who really positionally, you're going into the year not knowing where he fits on the field or on the field at all.
All right, set the scene for us out there. People, baseball fans, they hear winter meetings. A lot of this is surrounded pretty much by a hotel. I know you have your own work room and you have availability with the manager and the general manager, but can you kind of set the scene for people who maybe aren't familiar with what's really going on out there in San Diego?
Yeah, I mean, so everyone in baseball, you know, front office types, trainers, scouts, agents, I mean, everybody, you know, agents of the players, they all kind of convene down here. And in terms of the minor league side and on the major league side, I mean, it is what it is. It's the winter meetings. They have meetings, you know, maybe there's going to be something to go over rule changes. Maybe, you know, Joe Torre is going to meet with people to talk about, hey, how did the review system go next year? What type of tweaks do we need to make? Now they're talking about pace of game. That's a big topic down here. And you can get all the general managers together in a room and kind of have a conversation about that. All the PR staffs can get together and go over improvements that they want to make. Minor league organizations can get together and, you know, talk about new affiliates or, you know, things like that. You'll have the trade show here where a lot of people will come down who have equipment or things that they're looking to have teams kind of sign on to use and things like that. So that is what's actually going on, and then that's the backdrop. And then what we do as the reporters is, because all the GMs are here under one roof, that obviously gives them the opportunity to have those face-to-face meetings and maybe expedite, you know, those conversations about trades or, you know, meet with an agent to talk about a free agent pitcher or player or things like that. So, you know, that's kind of what goes on. But it is. It's just a bunch of boring meetings that all you guys go to, and then we try and chase down the rumors.
But I was going to say, it sounds hectic. You got a lot of the local beat writers. You've got a lot of national media now and TV and radio. It's just – Seems pretty hectic out there. It really does.
Yeah, a lot of hobnobbing going on late at night, you know, in the lobby bar. You know, everyone gets down there and gets a little happy.
There you go.
An adult beverage going on. And then,
we've,
you know,
been there.
And then late at night you hear that John Lester signing with the Cubs. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of that, and I know you're a Chicago native, so this has to be interesting for you. I saw Frank Thomas send out a tweet earlier, I think it was today or yesterday, pointing out, he goes, Chicago baseball really seeming to be on the rise here. And when you talk about Chicago, you're not only talking about the White Sox, who he played for, but the Chicago Cubs making a lot of noise. But both clubs, both the White Sox and the Cubs, it seems like both teams have really kind of made some noise this week out there in San Diego.
Yeah, if you're a Chicago fan, I think it's a pretty exciting time. The Cubs especially, you know, just because you look at the young talent that they've acquired over the last couple of years and has been kind of rising fast, and now some of these moves to supplement what's already been in place. You know, and obviously you got Theo Epstein over there, had a tie with John Lester, so that played a big role in bringing him over. So it's pretty interesting. And then with the White Sox, I mean, the moves they're making, I mean, this team is only getting better. You know, they got Jose Abreu, and that kind of, you know, last year, and that kind of ignited this quick turnaround for a team that, you know, looked lost a couple seasons ago. So now all of a sudden you're talking about adding Jeff Samardzija to a rotation that has Chris Sale. And you're looking at some of the other moves they made to fortify their bullpen. And it's a dangerous team. And it looks like the American League Central is tightening up. I mean, maybe the Royals and Tigers aren't as good next year. Maybe the Indians and White Sox are better. You know, maybe now that race just got a little more interesting.
I was going to say, it's rare when you see a division with a four-team race, but maybe that could be what it shapes up to be. Maybe still a little bit more to be seen from the White Sox end, but certainly I think the Indians will be in that mix with Kansas City and Detroit. I mean, I think all four of those teams really have a shot to really do something this year.
Yeah, what was interesting is Ned Yost, during his manager availability the other day, you know, someone asked him, you know, do you view the Tigers as your main competition for next season? And he said, yeah, our Tigers are the main competition because they're the division winner. But I'm really, you know, the Indians are who scare me. You know, his quote was something along those lines.
Wow.
So, you know, he was really quick to mention Cleveland. You know, and I think you just look at some of the young talent that the Indians have, both with Kluber and the winning the Cy Young, Michael Brantley, you know, finishing the top three for MVP, and kind of the guys that they have up and coming around them. You know, it could be an interesting year for the Indians. It's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. I know a lot of fans look at the roster and it kind of looks like mostly going to be intact from what they saw last year. But, you know, last year was a team that maybe overperformed given all the issues that struck the team. And I think that right there is reason to hope that 2015 could be better.
Very good stuff, Jordan. Listen, we really appreciate the time. It's always fun catching up with you. Continued success out there in San Diego. I know they're keeping you busy, and we'll see you when you get back.
All right, sounds good, Nick.
That's Jordan Bastian of MLB.com. You can read him over on Indians.com. Tribe beat writer, does a tremendous job. Fun following him on Twitter, at ML Bastian. He's got all the latest news on the Cleveland Indians. When we come back, news and notes from around Major League Baseball. It has been a busy, busy week, not only for the Tribe, but the other 29 clubs throughout Major League Baseball. We'll update you on all of that when we return. Nick Camino here with you. It's Indians Hot Stove Weekly, all along the Cleveland Indians radio network.
Tomlin's ready. Here it comes. A swing and a fly ball, pretty well hit to right center. On the run is Bourne at the track. This ball is gone. A two-run home run to right center for Brandon Moss. So he's hit his ninth home run. And the Oakland A's have scored three times after two men were out. And the A's now lead the Indians by a score of 3-1.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
All right, just past the halfway point here on Indians Hot Stove Weekly. Before you know it, this show is going to be Indian Spring Training Weekly, as we'll be coming to you from sunny Goodyear, Arizona, home of Indian spring training. It's always fun to do that, and we bring in the latest from there. And it's just crazy. Just a reminder to you, the Indians are going to open up the 2015 season in Houston against the Astros. That'll be on Monday, April 6th at Minute Maid Park. The Tribe will then have an off day on Tuesday. Then they'll play two against Houston, and then they come home. The Tribe coming home for their home opener on Friday, April 10th at Progressive Field. That'll be against the Detroit Tigers. So just a little reminder for you on some of that stuff, just so you know. The home opener, April 10th, that's a Friday. The Indians open up the season on a Monday, on April 6th. That'll be in Houston. So just to kind of get you up to speed on that. The Tribe and the other 29 clubs in Major League Baseball have been staying busy down in San Diego, where the MLB winter meetings are taking place. Teams, front office members, agents, players, everybody flocking to the same San Diego hotel. The winter meetings, just crazy. And you can just tell it's a madhouse there. We just caught up with Jordan Bastian of MLB.com. He's out there covering the meetings, and he's getting the latest and reporting the latest. By the way, thanks to him for joining us tonight. I know it's really crazy out there. You can read Jordan over on Indians.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, at ML Bastian. He's always fun to catch up with. It's just been crazy there. It really has. And I'm almost worried right now to do the news and notes portion of the program here live on the air, because I feel like I'm going to miss something with everything that's been going on out there. I feel like here on air, we're going to get something here on the Indians Radio Network, something new. All right, here's what's been going on. We'll just bring you up to speed on some of the things that have been going on at the winter meetings. We told you about John Lester, the lefty, signing a six-year deal worth a reported $155 million to pitch for the Chicago Cubs. Man, have the Cubs been busy at these winter meetings. Reports saying that Lester was deciding between Boston and Chicago. The Cubs able to lock him up, though. So don't forget Theo Epstein, the man running the show there for the Cubbies. He was able to bring World Series titles to the Boston Red Sox. He was there with Terry Francona. Those guys did a great job. So this is a guy who's been there before and done that, and really liked some of the things that the Cubs have been doing. This news just broke right before we came on the air tonight. The Los Angeles Dodgers just acquired Philadelphia Phillies longtime shortstop Jimmy Rollins in a trade.
Still no word on what the Phillies are going to get for Rollins, but the 36-year-old shortstop is headed to Los Angeles. That's kind of the Dodgers' first big move of the season. Miguel Montero, we told you about the Cubs. He was acquired by Chicago in a trade with the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're going to send two minor league guys there for him. Jeff Samardzija is now a member of the Chicago White Sox. The Chicago Cubs, as we talked about, really staying busy out there. A team looking to make some noise. They landed Samardzija. We know they already added LaRoche earlier in the season. They have Jose Abreu, Chris Sale. They're making some moves and perhaps throwing their hat in the AL Central Division race. We know that the Central Division, you think of teams like the Indians, the Tigers, and the Royals, but it seems like the White Sox are making some headway now. They're trying to get themselves back in the mix. The Houston Astros, they're kind of building up their bullpen here. I've liked some of the things they've done. They signed Pat Neshek and Luke Gregerson. Alberto Callaspo signed a one-year deal with the Atlanta Braves. We already know former Orioles outfielder Nick Markakis signed a four-year deal with Atlanta, so they're staying busy. Francisco Liriano signed a three-year deal with the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's going to be there for a little while. And Kevin Cash, we've talked about him, and this news is pretty much old news by now. Kevin Cash, if you haven't heard, he was the bullpen coach for the Cleveland Indians. He has taken the job as the new manager of the Tampa Bay Rays. Good for him, and I know Chris Antonetti and Terry Francona, those guys have had only good things to say about Kevin Cash. A tremendous guy, worked a lot with the Tribe pitchers, both starters and the bullpen guys, obviously. Nothing but good things to say about him. And really, people within the Indians organization, not surprised that he was able to get that job with the Tampa Bay Rays as their new manager. It came down to him, Raul Ibanez, and Don Wakamatsu, and he beat those guys out. So this is going to be his first opportunity to manage. Joe Maddon, as we know, leaving the Tampa Bay Rays, opting out of his deal to sign a long-term contract to be the new manager of, guess who, the Chicago Cubs. Seems like we're talking about a lot of Chicago teams, but they've been busy at the winter meetings. That's some of the latest of what has gone on at the winter meetings. We told you already about what was happening earlier in the week, the Indians trading for Brandon Moss of the Oakland Athletics. Only thing they had to send there was minor league infielder Joe Wendell, who's a pretty good prospect, but they really like what they have in Brandon Moss. We'll see if he can make an immediate impact on this Indians baseball team. All right, what we're going to do is take a quick timeout. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Joel Hammond, Indians PR guy. He helps out with the Tribe Public Relations. He's got a lot of information to share with us, not only on the construction going on down at Progressive Field, but some cool stuff on tickets, some things on Tribe Fest. It's always fun to catch up with him. He always has a lot of good information for us. Keep things locked right here. It is Indians Hot Stove Weekly. We're with you once a week, devoting an entire hour to baseball. We give you your baseball fix. Stay locked here. You're listening to Indians Hot Stove Weekly. It's the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Hot Stove Weekly on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. Here again is Nick Camino.
All right, before we get out of here for the night, I want to welcome in Joel Hammond. He works with the Cleveland Indians, part of public relations, does a great job on social media with the Tribe, and just does a great job in general. He joins us now here on Indians Hot Stove Weekly. Hey, Joel, listen, as always, we really appreciate the time.
Hi, Nick. Thank you for having me.
All right, a lot of things I want to get into with you. Let's start with what a lot of people are seeing now down at Progressive Field, the ongoing renovations continuing, even as the weather gets a little bit colder. And I know we saw just a bit of snow today. It's a big-time project. It's still going on. Can you sort of give us an update on some of the construction that's still going on and how people can see what's going on in a cool way?
Sure, of course, yeah. Like you mentioned, it's a gigantic project, a huge undertaking. Our guys, our crew got start the day after the regular season ended, and it's progressing nicely. They've started to demo parts of the kids' clubhouse. We're going to expand that to two stories. They've completely demoed the former Bud Patio area, which is going to be a new two-story climate control bar. And they've also begun work on the bullpen walls. You know, the bullpen, as you know, is something that has to be done by opening day, given its implications with our players and that sort of thing. So walls are going up now, and they're really making good progress. They made good progress in the first month or so before the weather really started to turn, and even now the weather is cooperating a little bit. So they're making good progress. Fans can actually watch a live stream of the construction at indians.com/progressivefield. That's our landing page for all of the renderings and all that stuff for the project, and now there's a live feed there as well. So really exciting. We're excited about it. By all indications, we're still on track to complete everything by opening day. And obviously more updates will become available as we go through the winter and some of that stuff is finished up.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know there's a lot of factors in things like this, weather, the workers, everything, but all signs point to the project being completed by opening day?
Yeah, all indications are that it's still progressing on schedule. Our crews, as soon as the season started, ended rather, as I mentioned, worked 6 days a week, only taking Sunday off. So I think they're in a good spot. We'll see what the weather does to it, to us and the project, but it's really progressing nicely. It's really fun to watch. So check out Indians.com for our live stream and also recent photos from the project as well. It's really coming along nicely.
Yeah, check out the live stream that they have there, the video. You can see the project and how it's going. And as Joel mentioned, the renderings are up, so you can kind of see what they're trying to put together. That's pretty cool. That's over at Indians.com. We're talking with Joel Hammond of the Cleveland Indians. He's with Public Relations, does a great job. All right, so Tribe Fest, this thing's coming up probably sooner than we think. After the Christmas holiday and after the first of the year, things are really going to start happening here. Tribe Fest is coming up. Give us the dates, the times, the sessions, and what people can expect.
Yeah, it's funny how everything we do really sneaks up on you. You're right. After the season, we got 6 months until opening day. We got 5 months till spring training. All of a sudden, it's December, December 10th, whatever today is. And sure enough, it's Tribe Fest is 6 weeks away. So, again, this is our third time we're doing this. First two editions were big successes, as you and I have talked about last year, especially during the driving snowstorm.
Yeah.
Still a big success. So January 24th and 25th, two sessions on Saturday, 10 to 2 and 4 to 8, and then 10 to 3 on Sunday, leading up to Cavs Thunder at the Cube. So Indians.com/TribeFest has all of your details. We've announced tentative players that are going to be there that weekend. We've got some more additions to come to that roster. We've got some alumni coming in, and we're in discussions to bring a couple of fun main stage activities that fans can participate in as well. So stay tuned for that. We're finalizing a few details there, and we're excited about those. It's really fans' best chance to get up close and personal with players, right? You get to meet them, you get to get autographs from them, and you get to take pictures with them and really just interact with them more closely than you're normally used to during the regular season, because that's a busy time for them, and it's tougher for them to interact. Now, January, it's easier for them to interact. We found that our fans love that part of the event the most.
And don't forget, Joel, we'll be doing some live radio shows from there, so I know people will be excited for just to see us.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, it's another you get to hear directly from them. If you're not in autograph lines, if you're not able to interact directly with them, we'll have you guys on site as well to broadcast some fun interviews as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. They bring in a lot of alumni, a lot of current players, former players. It's good stuff. They'll have a Tribe Fest going on. As Joel mentioned, they'll have two sessions on Saturday and then the one long session on Sunday. Tickets are on sale for that already, as Joel mentioned, Indians.com. People always ask me about ticket sales and all those types of things, and I know single game tickets obviously are not on sale yet, Joel, but if people want an opportunity to get their best value and their best chance at tickets, you can go to Indians.com right now and purchase a season ticket package, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say regarding tickets, too, that Chocolate's tickets actually are moving more briskly at this point compared to last year and the previous year as well. So if you're interested in TriFest, we have not sold out, each of the last years. But tickets this year are going briskly. So we're pleased with that, and I think it shows kind of the interest in a team here in the offseason. But, yeah, as far as tickets go, we'll be releasing some information soon on single game sales. That usually happens right around first spring training game.
Oh, good.
February, early March. But in the meantime, fans' best value, and fans' best value generally is through our season ticket. You save on average 40% over single game prices. You get postseason and opening day priority, and really it's your best value. So, yeah, call 216-420-HITS. Or visit Indians.com/tickets for those details.
And that number again, 216-420-HITS. All right, before we let you go, Joel, I know you guys got a really cool thing going on. I think this is something you guys have done before, but you can correct me on that. The Mentor of the Year program. Can you kind of tell us what's going on here and what you guys are looking for?
Yeah, so two really cool things we have going on right now. First is the Mentor of the Year program. We started it last year after Terry won the Manager of the Year award. We thought, hey, let's pair this with finding some great leaders in our community and giving them some recognition as well. So go to Indians.com/mentors, nominate your teacher, your CEO, your fellow volunteer, any walk of life, as long as this person is making a difference in their community. We want to hear about it. We want to honor them. That this is pretty cool. And just like last year, the winner actually gets to meet Terry at TribeFest. So
awesome.
Great prize, and really it's our way of recognizing some leaders in our community who, like Terry, are just great mentors. So it's just a great way.
All right, so how do they go about nominating someone for that?
Yeah, so hitindians.com/mentors. All the information is there. You're essentially going to send our fan services department an email with your nomination, some contact information for you, some contact information for your nominee. It's real easy. Again, just hit that website, indians.com/mentors, and all the information is there. And one last thing, I'll squeeze it on social media. Nick, you've probably seen this. We're doing our annual 12 Days of Tribe Twitter giveaway contest.
Yes.
Today was a haiku contest. The winner got a Terry Francona signed jersey yesterday. Actually, Monday, the contest was do your best impression of Hammy's home run call. The winner actually will get to meet Hammy and Rosie in the booth next season.
Oh, that's cool.
Follow us on Twitter, at Indians. We've got 9 more days. Tomorrow is actually a Vine contest. So follow us on Twitter, at Indians. And we usually start those around 10 a.m. every morning. And that's your chance to win some pretty cool stuff from us.
Speaking of social media, I think the Indians Twitter account and the name Brandon Moss, you guys were trending in the United States on Monday. So that was pretty cool for you.
That was a big move. Yeah, that was great. And actually, that reminds me, we were trending in the United States yesterday, too. We did a hashtag replace Christmas movie titles with players. And that was trending nationally, too. So we're having fun with it. This is our time of year where we can really, and we have a very, as you know, you interact with some of our folks, too. A Twitter follower base.
So great fans. Great fans.
Great fun. And again, follow us at Indians for your chance to win cool stuff.
Hey, Joel, listen, great stuff. Maybe we'll check in with you by next week. And thanks for taking some time out. And we'll talk to you soon.
Can't wait. Thanks for the opportunity, Nick.
All right, that's Joel Hammond of the Cleveland Indians, who's with their public relations, does a great job. Yeah, be sure to check out the Tribe Fest tickets and the Mentor of the Year program. Check that out, indians.com/mentors. They got some cool stuff going on there. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Indians Hot Stove Weekly. The Tribe staying busy out at the winter meetings. Also, a lot of other clubs throughout Major League Baseball doing the same thing. We'll keep you updated on that. Thanks for joining us tonight. We'll be back with you next week. Our one-hour devotion to Major League Baseball and your Cleveland Indians. Nick Camino signing off all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Indian
Fever. This ball is way back there, way back there, way back, baby. Bye-bye.
Swing and a long drive. Deep right field. Forget about it.
A son!